would you say if I said that I could bring them back?
I guess I'd say I never thought of that.
Well, alright, hold tight, you might want to stand back, because one small John is coming intact.
St. John Forward, spitting out some more words, fully intact.
Welcome to St. John Forward Radio. I'm your host, John Forward.
Living like a gnome, hit you with my lyrics like a bullet.
I don't know what this show is.
The night when he comes up here, he's either going to kill or he's going to suck. But there's no in between for Mr. John Forward. John Forward.
Kind of lead towards the latter.
I didn't know.
I don't really have a mission statement, but my name's in the title, so that's kind of how it leans. I feel like I've already got outlets if I want to just do comedy. Not currently, because there's nobody around here that's running stand-up shows. But I have other stuff on my mind sometimes, and this is the outlet I have for it. I like that part of the show, doing it, and if I wasn't on it, that's what I would want to see. Some of my favorite moments on the show are when we get into something that has nothing to do with comedy, and we just have an interesting conversation, and, you know, I like having a conversation with people about things that they care about, and if I happen to be talking to a funny person and that works its way into the conversation, that's a bonus. But I care more about myself and my guests being genuinely interested in a topic. And I feel like if it has to be funny, then it makes those moments a little bit less genuine. And I don't know if that's what anybody else wants from this podcast. I don't know why people are watching. There's not many of you watching, but those of you that are, I have no idea why. I don't know if you enjoy my pontifications or if you just endure them for the sake of the occasional funny part. I don't think there'll be many funny parts in this episode, so if you're one of those people, I'm sorry. This episode's not going to be for you. There's a lot of stuff going on in the world right now that I find really interesting, and I don't have a funny take on it. Should I just shut up about it? Probably. Am I going to? No. I could have put out an episode about something, and I didn't put any effort into contacting anybody to be a guest on this week's show, so here we are. But, you know, there's a lot of hot takes on what's going on out there, and I think mine is different than most of what I've seen, mostly on social media and stuff. If all I had to say was police brutality and racism are bad, then, I don't know, there's enough people already saying that, and I could just keep my mouth shut because I wouldn't have anything to add to it. But I think those things are true. Police brutality and racism are bad. But I think there's more to say than just that. Both of those things are not good, duh. And they are real, which I shouldn't have to specify, but social media, I think, has trained people to just assume that you're saying that these things are either fake or no big deal if you have anything to say about it outside of the narrow talking points that you're supposed to kind of fall in line with. So one person had another person incapacitated on the ground and had a knee on the other person's neck for almost 9 minutes. That by itself is a terrible thing. One of those people was a cop and one was a black guy. And whether the cop was racist or not, and whether George Floyd passed a fake $20 bill or not, doesn't really fundamentally change the fact that a human being put a knee on another human being's neck for almost 9 minutes when that didn't need to happen. And George Floyd also died, which makes the story that much sadder. But if he didn't die, this would still be a pretty bad thing. They came out with the autopsy yesterday as of recording, and that says that he didn't technically die of asphyxiation. First off, I don't know if I buy that. And the family's looking to get an independent autopsy done, and I think that's a good idea. But either way, if he lived or died, or if it was asphyxiation or some sort of underlying medical condition, whether George Floyd passed a counterfeit bill or he didn't, or whether he resisted arrest or he didn't, or whether the cop was racist or was not racist, the cop put a knee on a guy's neck for 9 minutes when he was already on the ground. And that's a problem, regardless of any of the other details. Police violence is the problem. Racism is also a problem, but whatever the autopsy says when they get it redone by an independent person, the autopsy is not going to say that George Floyd died of racism. Nobody's dying of shitty opinions. They die from violence that sometimes comes from shitty opinions, but I don't know. The best case scenario, if you have a cop, you want that cop to be nonviolent and non-racist. And the worst version is going to be somebody who is both violent and racist. But I feel like focusing on the race angle still leaves a lot of bad cops in the mix doing bad things. And just think about if you would rather have a non-violent racist cop or if you want a violent non-racist cop. Neither is a good option. But the violent non-racist is probably still going to kill a bunch of black people. He's just going to balance it out a bit and murder in a more egalitarian way. But the non-violent racist, he's still an asshole, but he's not going around brutalizing anybody. And I don't know, I feel like violence is a more tangible problem and might be easier to deal with. Racism is a thought crime. It can spill into the real world when that becomes violent, but it's pretty easy to tell whether or not violence has happened or not. There's no racism test, though. You can come up with evidence, but you don't know. You never know for sure if racism has happened unless it's very, very, very blatant. And it could be argued that this was, but this was a cop thing to do, and I wouldn't be surprised if somebody of a different color had the same thing happen to them. It might be less likely, and that could be racist, but I don't know. It hasn't stopped anybody from making memes, though. Those are the essential workers of the quarantine. You know, you see a picture of Dylann Roof getting handcuffed and walked into a police car after murdering a whole bunch of people. Put that next to a picture of George Floyd or a picture of Eric Garner getting choked to death for selling loose cigarettes. And, you know, they also like to show the one picture of the white lockdown protester with a gun screaming in a cop's face with no consequences. And they show George Floyd protesters getting tear gassed. And they're like, look, everything's fine with the white people and the black people are getting the boot of justice. And I assume the point of those kind of comparisons is to prove that racism exists, which there's a vocal minority who believes that racism doesn't exist, but I don't think that's a very common thing that anybody really thinks. They might say this situation, racism is not a factor, and who knows, but focusing too much on the racism, I think it takes the spotlight off the violence of it all. And if the argument is supposed to be that the police should have also brutalized the white guys, I don't think that's helpful. I don't know if that's the intention, but that's the vibe that I get. When I see those things, it's not police are constantly doing bad things to people. It's why didn't they bust this guy's head too? And I don't know. I don't think that's the right take on this. And if your point is just see racism, then maybe. But not even maybe, probably. But the violence is still the bigger issue. Somebody who wants to shut down the racism argument can find one time that a black person did something really bad and got arrested without being murdered. I don't have an example of that. It's not a very compelling news story, but I've got to assume it's happened at least once in the history of police. And so you compare this theoretical black person who did something really bad and got arrested in the right way, whatever that is. And, you know, I could compare that with the Duncan Lemp story, who is a white guy that got shot while he was in bed sleeping after the police did a no-knock raid at 4:30 a.m. because they got an anonymous tip 2 months earlier saying that this guy might have some guns that he's not supposed to have. And some idiot could be like, see, cops are racist against white people. Case closed. That's not a good argument, but it's the same argument. And if your main focus is the racism at worst, you're just making it that much easier for somebody else to come up with a counter argument. It's not going to be a good counter argument, but if they're responding to one that's flawed to begin with, you can't expect much. So maybe this cop in Minneapolis might have brutalized a white guy too in the same situation. Probably not, but it's open for debate. And if that's the direction that we're taking this conversation, the best case scenario is that they remove a couple of bad apples and the violence continues as long as it doesn't look too obviously racist. Now, on the other hand, if your argument is that what happened to George Floyd and Eric Gardner and Dylann Roof Duncan Lemp were all tragic examples of police brutality, then let's do something about the violence. If we can cut down on police violence in general, then the racial violence gets swept up in that same thing. The basis for my politics, I guess you would call it, or my philosophy in general, is something called the non-aggression principle, which I'm just going to call the NAP. throughout this, and just looking online for a quick summary of what the non-aggression principle is. It's a moral stance which asserts that aggression is inherently illegitimate, no matter if the result of those actions is damaging, beneficial, or neutral to the owner, when they are against the owner's free will and interfere with his right to self-determination or the principle of self-ownership. In contrast to passivism, the non-aggression principle does not preclude violence used in self-defense or in the defense of others. Many supporters argue that the NAP opposes such policies such as victimless crime laws, taxation, and military drafts. NAP is the foundation of most present-day libertarian philosophies. Not everybody, but that's a big part of how I approach the whole thing. And most of what I believe as far as the actions of people go, that's where it starts for me. And most of the other stuff I believe starts from that axiom, I guess. And if I'm not sure whether something is right or wrong, that's a filter that I can run it through and see how it holds up. And I feel like if there's a way that you can accomplish something without violating the NAP, that's probably better than the way that involves aggressing against somebody. So, and again, it doesn't matter what your intentions are or even what the result is. If you're violating the NAP, most cases that something wrong has happened. So even, you know, even if you have the best intentions in the world to keep people safe or provide education or healthcare or ending poverty, if your first step is, I'm going to rob people to pay for it, it's not a good idea. And the same, like if I mug a rich guy and give it to a poor guy, I'm not Robin Hood. I'm a bad, violent person who mugged somebody. It doesn't matter what I did with the money that I got from the robbery. Even if I've got the best intentions in the world, if the government's telling the citizens that they need to give up some of their money or else armed men are going to come and put them in a cage, it doesn't really matter if they've got good intentions, and I don't know. It doesn't matter what happens from then. So if there's a way to accomplish the same goal without the aggression, then I feel like that's a better way. It's a good start anyway. There are holes in it. If all options available violate the NAP, then it might require a bit more thought and maybe some other principles. If there's a train coming that is about to run over five people that are laying on the train tracks, and I can flip a switch to put it on a different track that will only kill one person tied to the train tracks, I'm probably going to kill the one person instead of five. And technically, I have committed an act of aggression against that one person on the other track. That one person died because of me. But it would be an act of aggression on the five people for me to not do anything either. So I don't know. That's a more complicated scenario. Now, other things that bother me that don't seem to bother people that I feel like should be bothered. Punching Nazis, even throwing a milkshake at them, that's a violation of the NAP, and I don't think it's a good idea. It's wrong, and it doesn't matter how big of an asshole that person is. You know, on the other hand, if that Nazi is about to throw a switch on a gas chamber full of Jews, then punch away. If you can defend those people in the gas chamber from the Nazi, then punch him in his face. Have at it. But if that Nazi is about to aggress on some other people, that's defense. That's allowed in the NAP. Religious help, what they say ain't for yourself. Ain't how to reach like your hair when Jackson lives inside your head. Not spots,
fuck off. Not spots, fuck off. If you're not right, get out of here. You ain't no better than the bouncers. We ain't trying to be police, and you ain't the cops, it ain't anarchy. Not spots, fuck off.
If they find Dylann Roof in the middle of shooting up that church, blow his head off. Have at it. But if you've got really compelling evidence that Dylann Roof is about to shoot up a church, go after him for that too. In that case, though, it would be up to the police to justify how their act of aggression in arresting him was justified, because this was going to happen. The onus is on the person that's violating the aggression if they're going to do it preemptively for the sake of defense. They're going to need to make that argument in court or to an arbitrator, whatever exists in this magical world that I'm thinking of. But if you end up pulling them over the next day, like what they did, and you can do it without any further violence, then that's probably the right thing to do. Dylann Roof is a bad guy, but if you find him in his car the next day and he's willing to be cuffed and doesn't put up a fight, then you don't need to blow his head off. If blowing his head off stops other people from dying, then have at it. But kneeling on George Floyd's neck for 9 minutes when he's already on the ground is not justified if he passed a fake $20 bill to somebody in a store. It would also be a huge... It's not justified either if George Floyd just got done murdering 50 people. When he's already on the ground, you don't need to put your knee on his neck for 9 minutes and kill the guy. It doesn't matter what he did or didn't do. It's not justified. And now we have people rioting. It started in Minneapolis. I haven't had to say that word out loud ever in my life before this. Started in Minneapolis, and it's spreading to other cities. It's been going for 5 days now, I think. People are smashing windows. They're setting things on fire. I think one person got shot, not by the police as far as I know. The riot is a very obvious violation of the NAP. And my instinct is to be against it. And, you know, maybe you can do some mental gymnastics and figure out a way that it's self-defense. The police murdered one of us and we're fighting back to prevent further loss of life. An argument could be made. If you set the police station on fire, I'm still not sure where I land, but there's an argument to be made. Looting a store that had nothing to do with any of this stuff, I have a harder time justifying that. And at least on Facebook, you're not allowed to say that. You get another meme from the meme police. If you're more upset about Target being looted than a black person being murdered by the police, then you gotta get your... I'm upset about both. I am more upset about a person dying than I am about Target being messed up. But two wrongs don't make a right. And just because one person or group of people does something that's like a 10 on the badness scale, it doesn't make it okay for somebody else to do a level 5 bad thing. Especially to somebody else who had nothing to do with the level 10 badness. So if somebody owns a store in Minneapolis right now or in any of the other cities that the riots have started, a bunch of people come and smash up your windows and steal your stuff and set the building on fire, you have been wronged. It probably doesn't make those people feel any better that it was all for a good cause, unless the insurance money pays for it and they're no worse off, maybe. But nobody's getting their store smashed up and at least those protesters weren't racist. Nobody thinks that. Now, on the other hand, I have to ask myself, what if the riots work? What if they accomplish the goal? Is it worth it then? And, you know, people are posting memes about that too. Lots of examples of peaceful protests that didn't accomplish anything. This group of people protesting peacefully, Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, this and that and that. Those didn't accomplish anything. What if destroying our city actually gets the job done? Is it the voice of a disenfranchised people, like Martin Luther King said, according to the memes? That's where I've learned all of my information. But what's the end game? What does it look like if the riots work? What worked? That the one cop that was kneeling on him gets convicted of murder? Is that the celebration? Is that your mission accomplished moment? Is it if all four of those cops get convicted and go to jail? And then what happens next? If the Minneapolis police get rid of four bad cops, probably racist cops, and then they go back to business as usual, but just, you know, stick to more low-key violence that's not going to get as much media attention. What if they use the riots as an excuse to get more money and more resources? That's very likely to happen. That's some more tanks that the Minneapolis Police Department can get, because, you know, riots might happen and we got to be able to do something about it. All the people that their property got destroyed, they're going to be asking, what's the point of having a police force if you can't keep me safe from people that want to smash my windows and burn my shit down? And, you know, they didn't get murdered, but it's not nothing. And that's one of the jobs that the police have. They're supposed to protect you from violence and from having your stuff stolen or broken or whatever. And I don't know. I think it's going to lead to more military equipment going to the police. And it's probably not going to have a good psychological effect on the cops that are left. They're probably going to have shorter fuses because they know what to expect when they don't sweep in and crack down strong and hard and quick. Everybody, especially in the cities where there's actual riots, it's going to be a traumatic event for everybody. And you look at people different. And when the police are afraid that something like this might happen, that's when they get trigger or knee happy. And maybe that's the point. There's a viral video going around on the internet that there's some guy, nobody has identified him. He's a white guy, if that matters. Dressed all in black. He's got an umbrella. He's got a gas mask on, and there's footage of this guy just casually walking up to a window and smashing windows with the hammer. And there was a few people on site that tried to stop him, like, what are you doing? Why are you smashing the windows in the auto zone or whatever it was? And they tried to stop it from happening. They're trying to figure out who this guy is. Somebody was yelling at him, like, are you a cop? And that's a pretty common thing that happens. That's how protests turn into riots. There's often, they call it agent provocateurs. And there are people that go to peaceful protests and they try to escalate it into something more violent. And the idea behind that is to push the protesters into something that might be more counterproductive to their cause, or even just to make them look less sympathetic. The general public is probably going to be on the side of a peaceful protest because somebody got killed by a cop. Less so if they set their city on fire. And there is a big difference between a peaceful protest and a riot. And so people are speculating, this hasn't been confirmed, but I would not be surprised at all. There's a lot of speculation that the Umbrella Man was an undercover cop. And, you know, police have a history of doing this kind of thing. And, you know, that's not defensible, but, you know, if there's a peaceful protest going on and the police want to crack down, but they don't want to look bad for tear gassing people, like, nobody wants to be that cop that, I forget what protest it was around, the guy that was kind of casually just tear gassing, or I don't know, pepper spraying or whatever it was, that guy that's just like casually spraying the protesters in the face that are just sitting there cross-legged. Nobody wants to be that cop. So if you are on the side of the police and you want to go out and bust some heads, why not create a little more justification for that? If just people showing up and being pissed off isn't enough, smashing windows and setting fires, that gives you a pretty good reason to get in there and start beating people up, shooting people, arresting people. And that has happened a lot of times. And if cops are known for being or using agent provocateurs to turn protests into riots, why would you think that a riot is going to help reform the police force? If they're trying to turn a peaceful protest into a riot, do you think that they're on the side of the people? It's almost as if the riot is a less effective tool than the peaceful protest. Otherwise, they would just let the peaceful protest happen.
Community boys.
You can put whatever slant on it you like, but if you want to say your name and that you're listening to 107.3 local FM.
Community boys.
Territory, cause it's on.
point that has been made online. I am aware that there is a long history of violence that goes hand in hand with revolutions. Population rises up violently to overthrow their oppressive leaders. That happens throughout history. And it has to, at least so far. The people in power aren't just going to step down because people asked them nicely. And I'm all for overthrowing the government. I would rather peacefully wean us off state power. I think that's a better way to go. I think it's more effective and it would probably be more sustainable in the long term. I would never, not that there is such a thing, but you know, if there was a switch I could flip that would eliminate government and just full on anarchy, I wouldn't want to do that because people would go nuts. There would be chaos. There would be agent provocateurs to make it look even worse than it is, and things will escalate, and it'll get to a point where people will be like, oh man, this is what happens when we don't have leaders. Bring them back to keep us safe. But I think a more effective strategy would be take the government apart piece by piece. And every time you take away a piece of it, replace it with something better, the voluntary version of it. And that one goes well, then we take away another piece and replace it with something better. If that goes well, take away another piece, replace it with something better. Not a lot of examples of that to be found in history.
I was over there when all the riots were occurring, man. It was really strange. And I got to see, while I was over there, footage of the Rodney King trial, which I had never seen while I was here. I saw footage over there of the Rodney King trial. I think I figured out why the LA riots occurred. Did you guys see these cops testifying, man? Do these guys have balls or what, man? These guys carry their balls in a wheelbarrow, man. Excuse me. Man with big balls is here to testify. Place your right testicle on the Bible. This guy, Officer Coon. Is life too fucking weird or what? Officer Coon looks in the camera and actually says, oh, that Rodney King beating tape? It's all in how you look at it. Courtroom murmurs. Jesus, what balls. I've never seen balls of this magnitude. He must have a specially fitted uniform in which to place these large testicles. That's incredible. All in how you look at it, Officer Coon. That's right. It's how you look at the tape. Well, would you care to tell the court how you're looking at that? Yeah, okay, sure. It's how you look at it. The tape. For instance, well, if you play it backwards, you see us help King up and send him on his way. Not guilty. Excuse me. Man with big balls has just been acquitted. And I watch all the news reports, you know. Today, Officer Coon, Officer Nigger Hater, and Officer Keep Darky Down were acquitted on all racist charges. Here's Tom with the weather. Hi, Susie. It's 420 degrees Fahrenheit here in South Central LA right now. Probably a good time to get out of the fucking city, Susie. There's gust of lead coming up sunset.
And then
President Bush came out and said, you know, not to worry, the justice system wasn't done with those cops yet. Yeah. In fact, Bush called together a special committee made up of the surviving members of the Warren Commission to review all the evidence. Yeah. Yeah. So they came up with the magic baton theory. One baton blow just went out of hand. Shit, it's bouncing off his head. Help! Would you believe I'm trying to stop it? Help me! Help me! I'm getting my big balls away from that stick. Officer, keep Darkie down. Get Officer Nigger Hater to help you. Come on, Officer Coon, 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 Coon.
Even talking about a revolution with this thing? Is that what anybody that's involved with this thing is pushing for? I don't think so. Not that I'm aware of. How many people rioting right now or making posts on Facebook want a full-blown revolution? Nobody is arguing that we take away tax-funded police forces altogether. I would argue that a tax-funded police force can't be anything but terrible, but that's not the argument that I'm seeing online. Most people want a less bad version of the existing system. You know, if I'm wrong, I'll eat my words. You might get that, but burning a city to the ground to get some reforms passed doesn't seem like a likely outcome for this thing. Violence generally leads to more violence. And, you know, when I was a kid, they had the LA riots after Rodney King was filmed getting the shit beat out of him by some cops. Did that fix the police system? I don't think so. We're still talking about it 30 years later, almost. Are things better now than they were then? I'm not sure. Based on media, like news and like the 24-hour news and the corporate media is a lot more clickbaity, and they tend to make things look worse than they actually are. So there might be less bad things happening that just get reported on more, so it feels like there's worse things. But the LA riots didn't solve the police problem, and I don't know. This time might be different, but I'm not going to hold my breath, which is not the best choice of words. But anyway, another thing that that bothers me is this. People are using this as an excuse to continue bashing on the lockdown protesters, the white guys with guns protesting not being able to get haircuts. Getting mad at those people is not going to stop anybody from getting killed by the police. It's either taking your idea that you already had and using this situation to make your point, or you're just actively distracting from the bigger issue of police violence. And, you know, those protests, something was happening that they didn't like. and a bunch of people showed up to a place so that their voices could be heard. That's what a protest is. And a lot of people think that what they were protesting is stupid. And again, I find it very reductive, even though there was probably people with signs saying, I want to get a haircut. That's a straw man argument. You're taking the dumbest version of that thing. It's a problem with state power overreaching and just completely ignoring the rules of the game, I guess. And haircuts is a small part of it. But even if it is just haircuts, do we really want to get into a big debate right now about who's allowed to protest and for what reasons? Because who gets to decide what protests are right and which ones are wrong? The people that get to decide are a few steps up in the hierarchy, but they're still part of the same legal system as the guy that kneeled on George Floyd's neck. Do you want them to determine which things that we're allowed to be mad about? And even if you're mad about something stupid, as long as you're not hurting anybody, then whatever, be mad about it. And again, they weren't social distancing. Maybe they got people sick. Show me the science on that one. But they were also carrying guns, which is not to be avoided in this discussion. Now, I don't think that open carrying is a violation of the NAP, but it's murky. Again, I don't own a gun. Despite the episode I did a few weeks ago, I'm not planning on getting a gun anytime soon. That may change someday, but I don't think open carrying is inherently a violation of the NAP. It means different things in different circumstances. If you walk into a bank with a gun, you're making an obvious statement that if you don't give me money, I will shoot you. And that's for sure a violation of the NAP. But if you're at a protest, open carrying, I think the message is more, if you try to attack me for standing here voicing my opinion, I will defend myself. And I think that was the message that they were trying to send. And the police didn't mess with those guys. Maybe it's because the police are racist and they just love white people and anything that white people will do, including showing up in a place with a big gun and screaming in a cop's face. Maybe. More likely, a cop probably just didn't want to get into a gunfight that day. That's probably a factor. And so to compare the two things, the reason why somebody's protesting is irrelevant. And you can't compare a peaceful protest by a bunch of people standing around who have guns that were not using them compared to somebody who's thrown rocks at a police station. Now, I'm not pro police station, have at it, but the response is going to be different. One group of people throwing rocks at your windows is going to elicit a different response than a bunch of rednecks standing around with openly carrying their guns, which I assume is legal in the places where that happened. If that's not the case, then the scale tips a little bit more towards racism, but still firmly on the side of cops don't want to get into a gunfight if they can avoid it. And I did a little bit of research about the open carrying thing, and I was reading about the Mulford Act in California in the 60s, which was outlawing open carrying of guns. And they did that because the Black Panthers used to bring weapons to their protests. The Black Panthers were not protesting not being able to get a haircut, and I'll give you that. But the Black Panthers were also patrolling the streets, making sure that there's no police misconduct or brutality going on. It's called cop watching. And that freaked out people because they didn't want the police to just have open season on whoever they wanted. And police tend to be better behaved when there's people with guns standing around watching what they're doing. And so we got to do something about that. And they passed this law. So nobody's allowed to carry guns. And I don't know. This is the gun protester thing is such a, it's a side story. It doesn't have anything to do with this. If you're a violent person, you've got some options in front of you. You can be a criminal and all of the risks that go along with that. There's some legal outlets for violent tendencies. If you've got a particular talent for violence, you can become a UFC fighter or a boxer or something. Military is another option if you're a violent person. But, you know, if you're worried about going to war with other people who also have other guns that might fight back, if you're worried about that, then you can become a cop. Generally, the people that you're policing aren't able or willing to fight back as much as if you go out in the Middle East somewhere. And I'm not saying that all cops are violent, but if you are a violent person, becoming a cop is one of the best jobs that you can get. If you're violent and racist, that's a double whammy, even better fit. You put that right on your resume. I'm violent and racist. Hire me. And, you know, a regular person, I can't just go kneel on somebody's neck for 9 minutes unless maybe it was self-defense. But even then, if I did it while the guy was already on the ground and I had three friends who had guns, the self-defense thing is a bit of a stretch. But cops are playing by a different set of rules than the rest of us, and that's where the problem is. The consequence for a cop is always going to be at least one step lower than the consequence for a non-cop doing the exact same thing. And that's what the problem is. There's less consequence, so they're more likely going to do it. There's less of a deterrent against it. And that's where the problem is. There's no incentive to not be a violent cop. And, you know, this whole thing that might cut down on a particular kind of violence, but there's going to be violent people that get into policing, and it's going to keep going. It's going to be in the heat of the moment. If one person knows for sure that if they do this violent act that they're going to get in trouble, and if another person wonders, if I do this violent act, chances are I'm going to get away with it. The only people enforcing this law are my pals, then they're more likely to behave badly. And that's what we need to get away with. That's what we need to get away from. When a human being does something bad to another human being, there should be consequences. And different types of people shouldn't have different types of consequences for this kind of thing. And when you create a separate category of people with permission to violate the non-aggression principle, there's going to be problems. Don't be surprised when the worst people in society sign up to be on the team that's allowed to go out busting skulls and is much less likely to get in trouble for it than the average person.
You have the emergence in human society of this thing that's called the state. What is the state? The state is this organized bureaucracy. It is the police department. It is the army, the navy. It is the prison system, the courts, and what have you. This is the state. It is a repressive organization. But the state, and well, you know, you've got to have the police, because if there were no police, look at what you'd be doing to yourselves. You'd be killing each other if there were no police. But the reality is, the police become necessary in human society.
A Molotov cocktail at the precinct. You know how we think. Organize the hood under I Ching banners. Red, black, and green instead of gang bandanas. FBI spying on us through the radio antennas. And I'm hitting cameras in the street like watching society. With no respect for the people's right to privacy. I take a slug for the cause like Huey P. While all you fake niggas try to copy Master P. I wanna be free to live. Able to have what I need to live. Bring the power back to the street where the people live. We sick of working for crumbs and filling up the prison. Dying over money and relying on religion for help. We do for self like ants in a colony. Organize the wealth into a socialist economy, a way of life based off the common needs. And all my comrades is ready, we just spreading the seed.
You have a black male, live a third of his life in a jail cell, cause the world is controlled by the white male, and the people don't never get justice, and the women don't never get respected, and the problems don't never get solved, and the jobs don't never pay enough, so the rent always be late. Can you relate?
No more bondage, no more political monsters, no more secret space launches. Government departments started it in the projects, material objects, thousands up in the closets. Could have been invested in the future for my comrades. Battle contacts, primitive weapons out in combat. Many never come back, pretty niggas be running with gas. Rather get shot in they back than fire back. We tired of that, corporations hiring blacks, denying the facts, exploiting us all over the map. That's why I write the shit I write in my raps. It's documented, I meant it. Every day of the week, I live in it, breathe in it. It's more than just fucking believing it. I'm holding them ones, rolling up my sleeves and shit. It's C-Lo for push-ups now, many headed for one conclusion. Niggas ain't ready for revolution.
The average black male, live a third of his life in a jail cell, cause the world is controlled by the white male, and the people don't never get justice, and the women don't never get respected, and the problems don't never get solved, and the jobs don't never pay enough, so the rent always be late. Can you relate? We living in a police state.
This has been St. John Forward Radio. Thanks for tuning in, and try not to aggress against anybody, please.
Fucking city, run by pigs. They take the rights away from all the kids. Understand it, we fight in a war, we can't win. They hate us, we hate them. We can't win, no way. Walk down the street.